We plan to go to Scotland now. God has just burdened our heart, and I was planning to plant a church in Romania, as I directed the Bible college that we had changed from transferred from Romanian to English and opened up to all of Europe. But God had other plans. He gave me an invitation to go to Scotland. I just kind of brushed it off and said, yeah, yes, that would be nice, because I prayed 30 years ago when I knew the Lord was going to call me, was calling me to be a missionary. I prayed and asked the Lord if I could go to Scotland. So I'm not sure that he hasn't answered. I mean, I know he's answered a prayer after 30 years, but I'm not sure now all the starry-eyed affection I had back then has kind of come to the reality of what Scotland is today. So pray for us. We do need your prayers. As I received the second invitation to go to Scotland, they very pointedly asked me, please pray about it. Well, you can't say no to a question like that. So I said, well, of course I'll pray about it. And I intended to pray about it and get it under my belt and be able to say, yes, I prayed about it. But God had other plans in mind. And he, to make a long story short, burned a heart for the borders region down near England. I became so burdened for that area, the Galashiels, Dumfriesshire region, and the borders region down in southern Scotland. And so I said, Lord, if this is your will, I want your will. I want to follow you. If it's not your will, block it. If it is your will, please bless it. And that's exactly what he did. He just blessed it after that prayer. Everything just seemed to fall in place and go that way. So I prayed again before we came home on furlough. I said, Lord, I believe it would show you faith that we're serious about following you to move our things to Scotland. So what we didn't give away and sell in Romania, we moved to Scotland. It's now in the Newtown, St. Boswell's, one of the storage areas there, waiting on us to get over there. We plan to be there by the end of the year, by December. Now, to sum all this up, the reason I said that about Scotland a while ago, when I first prayed about going to Scotland, I mean, I love bagpipe music. Not everybody does. I love bagpipe music. I haven't tried the haggis yet, but I'm gonna when I get there. I had a big burden for Scotland, but it was kind of, as I said, a starry-eyed burden. Now that I know what I know about Scotland, how she, for a few centuries, was sending out more missionaries and schooled more pastors than any other nation in the world, and it was such a fertile ground for the gospel for so long. But you know, when many times when God blesses materially, and a country becomes accustomed to material wealth, then they, over a period of time, gradually decide they no longer need God. And that's what's happened in Scotland by and large. Now, seriously, they're some of the most courteous people. In fact, I believe the most courteous people I've ever met in my life. They're just so helpful, total strangers. It's just amazing. What really got me was this. Before we see the DVD, I wanted to tell you what really got me was in Russia and Ukraine and all those countries. When someone didn't want a gospel or a tract, they had no qualms about letting you know. In fact, they were very, you might say, rude. I asked a person, one of the brothers we worked with one time, Peter Janosch, I said, why are they rude like that? He said, Daniil, he called me. My Russian name's Daniil. He said, that's not rude. That's normal. And it's in there, to tell you the truth, I believe it's in there, in the failure of communism that has turned much of the heart of the people. It's not so much in the Slavic blood, but in that failure of communism. It did a number on that whole area of the globe, and now we see a big stirring over there. So I said 24 years ago when I was on deputation, God was giving Russia and all the former Soviet Union a chance to raise the white flag to him. If you're familiar with Ezekiel 37, 38, 39, that area of the word speaks a good deal about those. And one of the first things before war is declared, you give the enemy a chance to surrender. I believe with all my heart that's what the past quite a few years over in the former Soviet Union has been. because now we see them closing up so much. But God still extends his word, and we must get the gospel out while we can. When we would talk to someone about the gospel or give tracts out in Scotland, on the other hand, they would stand there and for the next few minutes apologize and tell you why they couldn't take that tract, why they weren't interested in taking that tract. And the apologetic, courteous refusal was one of the things that just broke my heart. It just bowled me over. I couldn't believe it. But here's an upside. There are many, many East European immigrants coming into Scotland to work or whatever. Hungarian, large sector. Romanian, a large sector. Many of those Eastern European members are coming into Scotland to work and whatever, and so there's a good chance to get the gospel out. Please pray for us. If you haven't already been by the table out there, our prayer cards are right below that long shillelagh stick. I'll go ahead and confess this. The only part of that shillelagh stick that came from Scotland is the little silver emblem I tacked on the other. I made that stick myself. It's made out of Tennessee hardwood. I believe the way my knees act, I'm going to be taken back to Scotland with me. But pray the Lord will send us on our way by the end of December. If we could go ahead and start that DVD now, we'll see the DVD and I'll come back and preach.
We are Daniel and Judith Irvin. We're being sent to the Dumfries, Galloway, and Borders regions of Scotland. Scotland's total land area is a little more than 30,000 square miles. For those living north of the Mason-Dixon line, that's a little smaller than the state of Maine. And for those from the south, Scotland's size is a little larger than South Carolina. Scotland's three largest cities are Glasgow, which at one time led the world in the Industrial Revolution, Edinburgh, the capital of Scotland and its second largest city, was the hub of the Scottish Enlightenment of the 18th century, and Aberdeen, the third largest city in Scotland, which holds the title of the oil capital of Europe. A large sector of the North Atlantic and North Sea are Scottish waters, containing the largest oil reserves in the European Union. The latest estimate of Scotland's population was a little over 5.25 million people. The last census represents about 1.5 million families living in households. Of these households, 65% are married couple families, 16% are unmarried couples, and 19% are single parent families. With an ever-growing Muslim immigration to Scotland, it's been predicted that over the next 20 years, they will make up more than 1/4 of the population due to birth rates. They all direly need a chance to hear the gospel that was once so plentifully preached in this land. Years ago, in fact, more preachers were being schooled and more missionaries were being sent out of Scotland than any other nation in the world. Men like David Livingstone, missionary, doctor, and explorer who helped open the heart of Africa to missions. Henry Martin, Bible translator and missionary to India and Persia. Robert Moffat, pioneer Scottish missionary to South Africa. And John G. Patton, Scottish missionary to the New Hebrides. We are going back to plow and sow those once fruitful fields.
Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Hosea 10:12. Upon graduating from Oklahoma Baptist College, Daniel was ordained at Windsor Hills Baptist Church. The Irvins were accepted with BIMI in June 1991 and finished their deputation work about 2 years later. Daniel's charge to the mission field actually started on Friday night, March 29, 1991, when after praying for 2 months concerning the field where God would have them to serve, he took a blank sheet of paper and signed it at the bottom. In prayer, he promised God that he would go wherever God wanted him to go. Only then did God give him peace that the former Soviet Union was where they were to go. And so they went, and God blessed every step of the way. Upon moving to Belarus with their first three boys, They found the open door they claimed, using Revelation 3:20, was indeed wide open. It was one of those exceptional times in history when so many were left receptive to the gospel after the failure of communism. They planted a church there before the Lord moved them down to Ukraine. It was a very difficult area with many obstacles, including the Greek Catholic and Orthodox influence, along with having to learn another language. And there was a few run-ins with mafia thugs. But the Lord allowed them to plant another church before moving them to Romania. There they accepted an invitation to transfer the Romanian Bible College in Costiu to an English Bible college, now open to all of Europe. The college had been started by Brother Ed Hembry and Tri-City Baptist Church in Independence, Missouri. By God's matchless grace, the Irvins began in 2012 with 5 students and completed their first year of courses in English. More students have applied, and today servants continue to be trained for the harvest fields of Europe and the world.
It seems that each time the Lord leads us to a new area of service, it is very difficult to leave those we love. But our part is to follow. So now, we look forward to plowing fallow ground and planting a church in Scotland. It may prove to be the most difficult work that we have yet to accomplish, so please pray for us as we go. The Lord showed Gideon an impossible job, and then God made it entirely possible. Isn't that just like our God? Will you join us?
And He is a mighty God. We praise His holy name. And we want to thank you all for joining us 23 years ago. It's been a blessing. God's led us through so many predicaments, so many experiences. We've seen so many people come to know the Lord. And we look forward to doing the same thing in Scotland, planting a church there in the Scottish borders region. And if He doesn't come back soon, I'm hoping to get to Scotland by the end of the year. But if he doesn't come back soon, which I think he will, if he allows us the time, we'd like to then, after planting a church in the Borders region, move over to the Galloway-Dumfriesshire region and plant one there as well. God's been so good to us. When he gave me the call to Scotland, he gave me the story of Gideon. It's a wonderful story, and we'd like to turn there tonight as I prayed about what to give you tonight. He laid this story again on my heart, and I want to bring out some things there that are so evident. God's word is powerful. It's sharper, the Bible says, than any two-edged sword, and it does His work. You know, we're not, when I moved from Belarus, when we were in Belarus, we saw amazing things. Pastor Lashley and Brother Vickers have, I'm sure, related many of their experiences over there. But God did, when we moved to Ukraine, when He pulled us, he had to pull me out of Belarus. I wanted to plant another church in another area of Minsk. But God had different plans, and we must follow Him. It's vital. We must follow Him. It's fruitless to do otherwise. We can do things in the flesh and make a big stir according to our power, but it doesn't last if He's not in it, if He's not doing it. And that's one of the reasons I'm so excited now about Scotland, because when I first realized, and I'm just being truthful, when I first realized God's will was for us to go to Scotland, all those dreams, all those exciting things that I thought of 30 years ago had been overcome by the realization of the field the way it is now, and it really is a hardened ground, just as if a fruitful field, a once fruitful field, has grown over in weeds and brush, and starting anew, having to rid that first, and then plow again, and sow the seed, and water it, and take care of it. And God gives the increase. When I moved to Ukraine, To Western Ukraine especially, and there was basically no fruit for 3 weeks. I preached to my family when we started our church, and I had to do some deep soul searching. What's wrong? What have I done? What secret sin have I committed to pull God's power, there, I'm not seeing any results. And then after struggling a week or two with that, I thought, well, no, it's not me. It's got to be my wife. I'm just joking. Any of you that know my wife know that's a big joke. After 3 weeks of struggling, God showed me, plain as day. I mean, it's in the scripture, but plain as day. Our job isn't results. That's His job. Our job is faithfulness. Faithfulness to spread the gospel. That's our job in a nutshell. When I came to terms with that, He started blessing. We saw our first grandmother get saved. The next one that got saved was a former gun runner. I mean, he was a weapons and drug runner from Chechnya. That part of... In fact, the Lord allowed it that in Ukraine, I think we won more bandits than we did anyone else. Of course, now some of the... we would run across people that... had been out of church, and many of them were grandmothers. You saw some of the grandmothers there with the scarves and what have you. And I'm not really sure who gave us the more trouble, the babushkas, as they're called, or the bandits. But God blessed, and God gave us a church there. And please continue to pray for them. Western Ukraine is very, very patriotic, very nationalistic. We had to learn Ukrainian over Russian because they hate Russians so much. But... we're looking forward to Scotland because they speak English, one reason. It's a type of English. It's a brogue. It's a heavy brogue. And some of the words are different, but it's English nonetheless. And so pray for us. There will be different hardships. I'm convinced of this. In Belarus, it was the government, basically the government, the Orthodox Church together. They gave us a lot of trouble. In Ukraine, it was bandits, so many run-ins, getting kicked from behind and having a rib broken, which stayed out of place, and now my back hurts all the time, and that's a blessing, because when I hurt a lot, I've noticed I pray a whole lot more. God knows what He's doing. He knows how to reach every one of us, and God wants to reach the world. So here in Judges, the 6th chapter, we're going to look at those verses 11 through 14. We see God's call to Gideon. It's a fantastic, it's an exciting story there that we find in the Bible in Judges, the 6th chapter, verses 11 through 14. Tell us about, earlier in the chapter we read that God first sent a prophet to warn the children of Israel. This is why you're having so much trouble, because you turned away from me, and now I'm sending the Amalekites, I'm sending the Midianites down to, and they've got you captive. They had enslaved them. If they felt like coming and taking a field of wheat, they took it. If they felt like burning what's left, they burned it. If the economy was shot, kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? God wants our attention. We're His children. He loves us. And I believe he's extending His hand of mercy yet, because He's such a merciful God. He's so full of grace. And He's extending His mercy yet to this world. So we should use every chance we can while we have the chance. Just like the 86-year-old song leader there in Piriatin, where Pastor Lassley and Brother Victor have been so much. He was bent over. He had a spinal problem. He was bent over. He still led the choir at 86 years old. And if they didn't get the notes right, he was right on top of them. I mean, he was quite the fellow. And a visiting pastor once asked him, said, is it better now in the freedom? Don't you enjoy it now more so than back in the days under communism? He said, oh, no. He said, you liked it better back then? Yes, of course. Back then, we knew who the real Christians were. And I can remember even a time when Brother Peter Janusz took me out into an opening in the woods. And he said, right here, Daniel, under these trees, we had church. In the rain, in the shine, in the snow. Some ladies carried umbrellas, some didn't. But we praised the Lord right here under these trees. God wants us to serve Him. God wants us to love Him with all our heart. And He wants us to get this gospel out. God called Gideon for a special job. And these verses 11 through 14, give the account of that. Now, here's, I told you a prophet had already come. Here, God sent an angel, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress, look at this, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. He made himself visible. In other words, he appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, right about there, I can just imagine Gideon. I mean, just think about it. He's hiding, threshing this wheat. He's hiding. Every once in a while, he takes a peek, make sure the Midianites haven't come over the hill. But he's back there hiding. He's working hard, threshing grain. It's a dusty job. It's a hard job, and it's done in the late summer, so it's a hot job. And he's probably filthy, covered with dust and sweat trickling down and everything. And he's working as fast as he can and as hard as he can so he can get the grain home to his family. And the angel comes up, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And I can see Gideon. Who is he talking to? And he looks back at the angel, and the angel's just staring right back at him. And he realizes, he's talking to me. Look at Gideon's answer. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, small O-R-D, if the Lord, large, L-O-R-D, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? You know, I've heard that question asked since I've been home on furlough, out witnessing or talking to folks. Why is all this happening? And along with a dread of something around the corner. Why is all this befallen us? And where, the second question, where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord, again, large, L-O-R-D, bring us up from Egypt? Then he makes a declaration, a statement here. But now the Lord hath forsaken us, again, capital L-O-R-D, hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now look at the angel's answer to him. And the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. What was Gideon's might? We'll see that in just a moment. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt, gave him a promise, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And he gave his commission, have not I sent thee? God wants us to realize he's the one in control. And Gideon realized it. You can see it. Now, he has two questions. If the Lord be with us. He wasn't questioning in a sneering way. You know, now, although I don't advise anyone to question God, if you do it with the right heart attitude, especially like when you're a younger Christian or a new convert or trying to find God's will, if you do it in sincerity and faith, God will answer your questions. He realizes our weakness. He realizes that we're but frail human beings. This is what Gideon, he said, if the Lord be with us, why is all this happening to us? He goes on to say, where is the Lord? He said, where are all his miracles? We heard about all these miracles that he did on the other side of the flood. We heard about all these miracles that happened when he took us out of Egypt. Our ancestors told us about that. It's a blessing to me. I love studying history. This nation had two major things that really affected the colonies before the War of Independence. Number one, and by far outstanding, is the Great Awakening. The free preaching of the gospel throughout the colonies prepared this nation for freedom of religion, for spiritual independence. The other is not so well known, but over 100,000 Scots-Irish left because of taxation and whatever, and came to, ultimately, to Tennessee and Kentucky. So many of us have those Scots-Irish roots. I've talked to several of you tonight who. But those men had been fighting. Now, they had been over in Ireland settling a wild land. The Irish at that time were basically, they lived off the land. They didn't do a lot of farming, a lot of cultivation. And the Scotsmen didn't mix with them. They settled there and were farming. King James by far one of the most notable Scotsmen who ever lived on this earth. King James, who had planted a plantation down in Jamaica, he'd planted a plantation in Virginia, planted a plantation up there in Northern Ireland. God gave that man wisdom. Of course, we hold in our hands the greatest work that's attributed to him. But God allowed many, many of those over 100,000 immigrants into this young nation who were fighters by spirit, by experience and in their blood, and God freed this nation. Their blood was shed. They were shot. They were wounded. So many of them, and they weren't the only ones, I'm not saying that, but there was a large influx of Scots Irish who loved freedom more than life itself, some of the hymns we sing. And yet, now over these 8 generations, yet we Americans have grown to the point that we've given so many of our, traded in so many of our freedoms. This is true. Back in the 30s, my dad used to tell the story about my grandpa out there in New Mexico. New Mexico, the dirt's so poor, and we were poorer than the dirt. Our family, eight girls and 6 boys. But the dirt's so poor, basically, you can raise rocks on that. It's good soil to raise rocks, to raise cactus. In the 1930s came this super deal from our government. They were handing out free, you had to apply, but of course, all the farmers were joining this cooperative program, and they were getting all these benefits from the government. My grandpa, my dad told me, wouldn't handle, he said, no, we need to work for what we get. And he wouldn't take it. His friends, who had been lifelong friends, turned against him. Now we see in our day the socialist project that our government has, little by little, we'll give you this if you'll take this. And many of our freedoms we've given away. God wants us to love him. God wants us to serve him. Freedom or slavery, God deserves our service. Gideon was, he was told, go in this thy might. And I asked you a while ago, what was Gideon's might? It's the same as our might. It was the same, I'm sorry, sometimes English words just don't come as quickly as they used to. But the same correlation there in his first 2 questions and his declaration, we find the same thing in all 3 places, and it is the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. The Lord was his might. The Lord was the one he was, if, he said, the Lord's with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles that the Lord did back there in Egypt? And he gave that declaration, now the Lord has forsaken us. He's turned us over to the Midianites. We may live to see the generation of Americans who are turned over to captivity. I hope not. I sincerely hope with all my heart that doesn't happen. But we may live to see it. We don't know the future. God knows the future. But let me tell you one thing. If it happens, and I hope it doesn't, but if it happens, the Lord still deserves our service. He still deserves our honor. He still deserves our glory, no matter what. I mean, it's like the time 1993, in late 1993, our things didn't get to Belarus as planned. And I had gone over to Germany a couple of times to get our things. And the second trip I'd made, one of those trips, I can't even remember really, but one of those trips I made with Peter Janosz, that good brother, Belarusian brother, Christian man. And we were bringing our things back in that army truck that I'd bought over there at the auction, army auction. And we're bouncing around on gravel, and this is supposed to be a major, I mean, it's like an interstate. Just imagine, if you will, 26 out here, if it turned into gravel and potholes and all this stuff. I said, Peter, this can't be the right road. We had to have missed the main highway somewhere. And he said, pull over up here. There's a light up here. There's got to be someone at the gas station. And we pulled over. I shut the truck off, and he jumped out. Right there were about 3 cars and about six or eight guys there. One big one bellied up to Peter, and he said, "We are going to kill you and take your humanitarian aid." Peter said, "Go ahead." Now, they're talking in Russian. Peter said, "Go ahead." I looked at Peter, and I thought, "Peter, shut up. They're serious." They were serious. But Peter said, "Go ahead. We'll be in heaven if you kill us. Where are you going to go for killing us?" And he started quoting them scriptures on Judgment Day. He got two scriptures, maybe had started a third scripture on Judgment Day. Every last one of us is going to stand before God and give an answer. For everything we say, everything we do, everywhere we go, every thought we think, we're all going to stand before our Creator, before our Savior, before our Lord on Judgment Day. That big guy just took about a step back and said, "Go on. We were just joking." He was serious. I saw it happen several other times. God wants us to love Him. God wants us to live for Him. God wants us to serve. He's so deserving of our service. Gideon was called there by the angel the mighty man of valor. Later his name was changed to Jerubbaal, and it was the one who is against Baal, the false god, the one who he pulled down the groves, burned them, and he destroyed the idol. They gave him that name, but I want to look at some of Gideon's main strengths that he had. His first one, and we're only going to be able to go over a couple of them, but his first one there, humility. Judges 6:15 says, "And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I the least in my father's house." You know, before we serve the Lord, before we send out the gospel, we must first realize our inability to do so. Gideon did. He was humble. He didn't claim to be some great savior. He knew his weakness. But guess what the Lord said over there in that passage of scripture in Matthew when he's talking about his yoke, yoking up with him, taking his yoke. Why are we to take his yoke? He said, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." The Lord God created all the universe and everything that's in it. And yet that same Lord God who came down here and laid aside his robes, as it says in Philippians, the second chapter, his glory he laid aside in heaven to come down here as an humble, as a meek and lowly servant. And that's what it takes to serve the Lord. Lowly. He said, lowly in heart. I did a word study on that. It talks about the same root word as the word peasant, our word peasant. In his heart, the Lord Jesus, the mighty creator, the all-powerful one, is a peasant in his heart. He's lowly. There's nothing he won't stoop. There's nothing he won't do to be able to get a person, a lost person, out of the gutter and into heaven. The Lord wants us to send the gospel out. He wants us to teach and to preach his word, because it's the only power that will save from the gutter to heaven. It's the only power. The blood of Christ shed for all men alike. God wants us to serve others. God wants us to, Gideon was also cautious. Judges 6:17 says, "And he said unto them, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me." He just wanted to be sure God was behind this thing. He wanted to know for sure that if I do this, will you be with me? He was also a spiritual man. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, God of Peace. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah in the Abiezrites. He was an obedient servant. Judges 6:27, "Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household." Sounds kind of like the what's going on over there in Russia and Ukraine right now. It happened in our nation when brother fought brother. But here, he's the youngest. You've got to realize this situation. Yes, he was afraid, but he still obeyed. He said, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, but he did it by night. God wants, he's looking for those who will find a way to do it, find a way to obey him. There's so many times he'll allow obstacles in our way simply to see if we're going to find a way around that obstacle, over it or through it or around it or whatever. But God wants us to find a way to obey him, to overcome our fears. And yes, Gideon was fearful, but he obeyed. Again, when he was told to go down into the camp, the Lord was flat out playing with him. He said, and if you're afraid to go down to the camp, you can take Phurah, your servant, and go down there with you. Well, he took Phurah, his servant. Why? Because he was afraid. I mean, God didn't even allow him to hold a weapon. For some reason, when we have a pistol, we have some confidence. Well, Gideon didn't even have a sword. Gideon didn't have a... God gave him a horn in one hand and a lamp in a pitcher in the other hand. Those were his weapons. He'd never fought a battle like that. You know, God wants to get all the glory. God deserves, as I said, all the glory. He found divine inspiration, Judges 6:34, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And then, last of all, he found divine fellowship, Judges 6:36, and also Judges 7, verses 4, 7, and 9 says, Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, he depended on God's promise. Then over there in the 7th chapter, verses 4, 7, and 9. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. He'd had 32. He started out 32,000. 32,000. Like two little flocks on the hill. And the Midianites were like grasshoppers that covered everything. But the Lord said, tell all the fraidy cats to go home. If you're afraid, just go on home. 22,000 of them left. Over two-thirds of them left. Only 10,000 were left, and what did God say? The people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you. And deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. And it came to pass the same night, in verse 9, the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it unto thy hand. And when he went down there with Phurah, he even found out the enemy was afraid of him. God's all powerful. God can do anything. We've seen him do the impossible, haven't we? If you're of any age, spiritually speaking, you've seen God do impossible things in your life. Well, that's what he likes doing. That's his best work. God loves doing the impossible. Showing us that he loves us. Showing us that he's full of grace. Showing us that he cares for this world. Going on 7.4 billion. Over 7.3 billion people in the world right now. Most of them have never heard the name of Jesus. We've got to get the gospel out. 2015, we have to get the gospel out more so than we've ever done it before. And glory to God. I'm going to ask our dear brother to come. And as he comes, let's stand and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we commend this next time to you and thank you for it in Jesus' name.
I don't know if God spoke to you the way he did to me tonight, both in the story of Gideon and in the DVD presentation of Brother Irvin, but why has God used this man in all these countries, and I believe he's going to use him in Scotland? Because that day when he took that blank sheet of paper and he said, Lord, wherever, whenever, whatever, and he signed his name. Why did God use Gideon? Same thing. What if Gideon had said, no, Lord, I won't do it? We would never hear the story of Gideon's 300 or his 100. We never hear it. And that great victory. Probably everyone here tonight professes to be saved, and yet often we're slogging through our Christian life with no direction, with no purpose, and we're not really doing a whole lot for the Lord. And I think the reason is we've never signed our name. So that's the invitation tonight. Have you ever in your life, as a Christian, said, Lord, wherever, whenever, whatever? And just take that blank piece of paper and sign your name. Have you ever done that? We'll never see God use us in mighty ways. We'll never do much for God until we do. So that's the challenge tonight. It's called surrender, isn't it? And I'm going to have the ladies play I Surrender All. If God is speaking to your heart tonight, that you just need to say, okay, Lord, here I am. You're tired of just kind of going through the motions and coming to church, and you're saying, Lord, here I am. I'm going to sign my name. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm signing my name. Now, he may have you continue to do what you're doing. I don't know. But are you willing to do whatever the Lord wants you to do? As they play, will you surrender? How many would say tonight, Gary, there's been a time in my life when I did that. To the best of my knowledge, I told the Lord, Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whenever you want me to do it, I'll do it. You surrendered your life. Would you raise your hand? Say, Gary, I've done that. I know when I did it. I've done it. Okay, many hands. Praise the Lord for that. Okay, if you couldn't raise your hand tonight, why not tonight? Why not come tonight and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. You use me the way you want to use me. Lord, I thank you tonight for the way you've challenged my heart. And Lord, I thank you for Brother Irvin and his life's testimony and how you've used him in many places because he signed his name. We thank you for the story of Gideon and how you used Gideon in a mighty way because he said yes. And Lord, I pray those believers today in 2015, we would be moved to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whenever you want me to do it, I'll do it. God, help us, I pray, to be fully surrendered, that you might use us in this life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. For you, you stay seated or standing just for a moment. Brother Irvin, you and your son, if you want to go on out, and great to have you with us tonight. Thank you so much for your message and for your life's message. And he'll be in the lobby, and I'm sure you want to greet him. Be praying for Pastor and his family and Brother Mann and his family as they're traveling. Bob doesn't have too far to go. Jenkins have a little bit further. Be praying for them. Pray for our service this Sunday. Let me encourage you, teachers, be on the visitation trail. All right? Let's get the job done. Get those blue cards. Get them filled. Get them visited. Get them filled out. Let's do a work for the Lord. We will see you back here Sunday. The Lord bless you. You are dismissed.